Turn, if you would, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. My message will be a topical message, partially textual, and would like to read a few verses. My text will be found in verse 7, but want to read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, down through verse 8. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." Practically every year at this time, I address my comments toward the coming year. I speak of the future and attempt to encourage you onward and upward. It's good to set goals and to strive to achieve. But this year, my objective is to look backward. Oh, not so much as a year in review, rather just a reminder of perseverance. The reason I thought this was necessary was when I reflected upon 2013, I was made to think that many people make the same resolutions over and over and over. That is, we need not only then to seek to improve, but we need to stay the course. We need stability. We need to finish well. Therefore, my encouragement for you today is to keep on keeping on. And as you make resolutions for this new year, then endeavor to keep them and to pursue those all throughout the year so that next year at this time you will not be making them again. I want to speak to you today a message I've entitled, "Finish Well." And perhaps as you look back over this year, you're finishing well. We trust that's true. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. And thank you for the opportunity to be in your house and for those who are here. And we ask that you would just speak to our hearts. May we find encouragement from it. And we do pray if there's any lost today that they might see their need of Jesus Christ. We pray that they'd be saved today. And Lord, help us to honor you, to worship you, to praise you. And Father, we ask that you would guide our hearts and our lives. And as we look forward to the coming year, help us to look back and see how we've done and examine our lives this past year. And Lord, grant us grace to improve the coming year. And Lord, just draw us to you. Forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Talking to you today from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul states three things. In this verse, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith." And I want to hone in on that middle statement. I have finished my course, therefore finish well. That's what Paul is saying. I have finished well. I want you to finish well. Now, first of all, then, as we think about this message, we all have a course. We each have our own course. The word "course" in the text here means a course. It is a race course. And it may be applied certainly to a course of life or a course of ministry. We all have that which is before us. The main root word for this Greek term that's found here comes from a word which means to run. And so it is to run a race. Therefore, when we look at this word "course," "I have finished my course," Paul is using an athletic reference about a race, and he is saying, "I have finished my course. I've had a race course of which I had to run, and I've run it, and I've run it well. I have finished it. I have completed it. I'm at the end." And so he says, "I have finished my course." The word "finished" there means to finish. It is to conclude. It is to fulfill. You have an obligation, and you keep that obligation. That comes from a main root word that means to have a consummation. It is an end that is obtained, and it's the closing act or the final stage. And so Paul says, "I've had this race, and now I've come to the end, and I've crossed the line." Keep in mind, Paul is down at the end of his ministry. He's at the end of his days as he writes to Timothy. He knows he doesn't have long to live. And he just encourages Timothy throughout the epistle and teaches him, trains him, and then tells him, you know what, I have had an opportunity to serve, and I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. I have run my race. One of these days, we're going to come down to the end of our life, and we're going to look back and realize our race is over. Our life is done. And we're coming to the end. Wouldn't you want to be able to say like the Apostle Paul when it comes time for you to leave this world? To say, I have finished my course. That's what he speaks of within the text. And so we each do then have a course. We have a race which we're running. Now sometimes we'll say, well, it's a rat race out there, and the rats are winning. You ever heard that? Maybe that's a northern thing. But anyway, it just seems like a rat race out there. And all we have to deal with it. Now I want to think about for just a few moments the elements or aspects of our course. We each have a course, and you know it's all going to be different because we're all different. We have our physical abilities, our emotional capabilities, our mental abilities, and we're all different. Everything that we're made up of, we're completely different. But we all are on a race, and we're all in this race, and the circumstances of life are completely different. They're different for me than they're different for you. And it's just that we all have who we are in this race, and we have to face this race, and we have to deal with life as it is. Some people are sickly. Some people have great health. Some people are financially stable. Some are unstable. And so we have all kinds of difficulties of life and blessings and positives. That's just the kind of race that we're in. And beyond that, when you add to that the commitments to ministry and service, and so if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I trust that you have some commitment, you have some desire to serve and to labor and to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that makes a difference to our race course. Now, God had called me to preach, and God placed me in the ministry. That makes my race course a little bit different than yours, doesn't it? But I have the race, and you have the race, and we all must run it. And then, of course, in our course, of the race of which we must run, it involves the choices which we make day by day and week after week, the goals that we set, and the resolutions. Now, you might look over 2012 and say, well, that's the kind of race that I had, and maybe I didn't run it so well at certain spots, and other places I did pretty well, but I'm looking at 2013 now. What kind of resolution, what kind of change do I want to make? Well, that's going to alter your race, isn't it? Going to make a little bit of change. So we all have the race course. And you know what? Those courses do change, don't they? And we have to accept those changes. The requirements change. Life changes. So when you're young and you're pretty much carefree and you grow up and you become of age and then you get married and things are a certain way and then you have children, well, then that's a different way. And your race course is constantly changing, isn't it? And you might have this job, but you might get fired, you might get laid off, or you might have an opportunity for another job, you might move to another state. The course changes. You have to change with the requirements of it. The races are different, the different duration. I was talking with the carpenters, and I noticed on Facebook that some of the family had gone out and had entered into a race. Well, one ran a 5K, one walked a 5K, one ran a 10K. So, I mean, you know, there's different durations, and actually, when you run a race, you know, sometimes you got to run a little bit further and you might run a little less. The only 5K I ever ran was about 12, 13 years ago. And I remember when I ran that race, I just putted along because I'm not in very good shape, never was in very good shape. But I was getting along and came about halfway through that race and we saw a guy walking. And well, this guy, obviously, when we started the race, he took off, and he got wore out, so he had to start walking for a little while. We caught up to him. We passed the guy up, but it wasn't much longer after we passed him up that here he comes, right by. He finished the course quicker than we did. We were consistent. He kind of sprinted and quit and sprinted and quit. He made it through. He made it through. And the duration of your race, you know, it's going to be different, isn't it? Going to be, sometimes, you know, life's a sprint. Sometimes it's going to be a stroll. Sometimes it's going to be a jog. Sometimes, you know, it's going to have to mix it up. The duration of your race is going to change. The skill set's going to change. One of my family members is through marriage, through my wife's side. This guy ran some sort of military race. I can't remember what the name of it was, but it was in honor to the military and the vets and all that. And I'll tell you, this was, I don't know why anybody would want to do that kind of a race. They got out there and they had to jump over things and run through obstacles, and they had to jump in the water. It was freezing cold. It was in the north. Had to run through the water that was electrified. Why you would want to do that? Beyond me. But they had this race, and people broke their ankles and got injured all the way through this race, jumping off cliffs and doing all kinds of things. Different skill sets in the race, isn't it? And don't you find your life is like that? Doesn't it change along the way? And sometimes it's a little tougher, sometimes it's a little easier. But the race, it changes. And the endurance that you need changes. And sometimes you have to go a little bit longer on a little bit less. It's just the way it is. That's life. And that's the kind of race that we run. And the rest periods, aren't you glad for the rest periods? Sometimes you have frequent rest periods. Sometimes you have long rest periods, but you only get one. It all depends on the circumstances, doesn't it? And so I still try to run today. I don't run as much as I used to, but every now and then as I go through, I might get tired enough where I think I got to stop and walk a little while. So I'll walk maybe a tenth or two and then pick up my jog again. I'm not going to win any medals. I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to get into a 5K in place. I don't care about that. I'm not going to get into the St. Jude Marathon because I'll be doing a lot of walking. I'll be there till midnight. So we'll let somebody else take care of that. But we have a race, don't we? You have a race. You're in it today. Now, often as we go through this race, we can select the level of difficulty or the helps that we have. We can choose to add or subtract from our race. Some people, we say, well, you got a lot on your plate. You know that phrase, don't you? Well, what it is people put a lot on there. They add a lot of responsibility, a lot of obligations. Some people, they don't put any obligation, and they just kind of drift around. Well, I think you ought to have a better race than that. But we can add to the race and subtract from a race, and we can resolve to do some things and change up some things, where if it's too much, we need to maybe lessen up a little bit. I'm not going to try to run a marathon. I don't think I could make it. But I could train toward it if I wanted to. You can train in your race. And so we can change the level of difficulties of our race which we run. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I also want to remind you about the race of which you're running, that there are often obstacles. And boy, we know that, don't we? As I talked about the rats earlier, we're familiar with the rat race. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we talk about the Apostle Paul in our text and how he says, I have finished my course. And you know what? Was it easy for the Apostle Paul? I've asked you to turn to this text because in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he is making some statements about the things that he went through as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about not being easy. I tell you, I've had cake in the ministry compared to this. I mean, I've thought on occasion that my ministry has been very difficult. But you know what? Nothing compared to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 23. Paul says, are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. They provoked him to glorying. And he says, well, it's kind of foolish for me to do so, but I'm going to tell you some things that I've experienced. He says, are they the ministers of Christ? I more. In laborers more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, been in the ocean, shipwreck. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. And weariness and painfulness and watching often and hunger and thirst and fasting often and cold and nakedness. Besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Talk about a tough race. Man, that's a hard race to run right there. But he did it, and he chose to do it, and he pursued it. And even when he was on his way back to Jerusalem, they prophesied to him, and they told him, you go back to Jerusalem, this is what's going to happen to you. He says, I'm ready to die there. He was willing to go forward. He was willing to go on. And of course, he was arrested in Jerusalem. He ended up in prison in Rome. And he writes to Timothy, and he says, I finished my course. And it's not been easy. The obstacles have been many. Go back to chapter 1, if you would. And you think about the Apostle Paul. And I mention this because we speak of this text in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and how he's finished his course. Well, it's been pretty tough. The things that he's gone through, his race has not been so easy. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it's even a little bit further expressed for us in verse 8 where he says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of the trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." And what Paul's saying here is, the race that I'm in and the things that we've gone through, it was so much pressure upon us. We say the rock between a rock and a hard place. That press beyond measure is to be compressed. And Paul says, "I'm pressed beyond measure." And he says, you know what? It was at the place we even despaired of life. He was just willing to throw in the towel, to cash in the chips. He was ready to give it up. We despaired of life. I'd be better off dead, Paul thinks. But you know what? He wasn't willing to give it up. And he says, well, what we did is we had a sentence of death in ourselves. We just accepted what God's given to us in His providence, and we continued the race. And so now as we read 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he looks back over all his time, he really suffered. We read some of those things in chapter 11. We read in chapter 1 where that he despaired even of life. But you know, he gets to the end and he says, "I have fought a good fight and I have finished my course. And I have kept the faith." Don't you at the end want to say, "I finished my course"? The new year is 2 days away. Don't you want to be able to look back and you look back? Wouldn't it be great if you can say, "I finished my course this year? I've done everything I set out to do and I've done it well, and God's blessed and God's watched. I finished my course." And then you look forward to 2013 and you have your goals and your objectives and you might make a resolution or two. Well, what you want to do is you want to be able to finish well. I encourage you that we all have our own course, don't we? One which we must run. And I submit unto you that we need to finish well. And the obstacles will be there. But we want to finish well. That's my second point. Not only is it that we each have a course, but we need to finish well. Let me say unto you that whatever course we're in, we need to strive to complete it. If you've chosen to go to college, then finish. If you've chosen this obligation or committed yourself to that, then finish. Stick with it. Stay by the stuff. Finish well. Strive to complete the course. And we should desire to do the best that we can in the course which we must run. Wouldn't you like to hear one of these days, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." It's recorded in Matthew chapter 25. Would you not want to get before God one of these days and hear, "Well done, well done"? Well, if you don't finish your course very well, you're not going to hear, "Well done." I want to challenge you, as you look back over the year, what resolution or resolutions did you make last year, and how have you done with that? I'm just bringing this up. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. We're not trying to get you discouraged or browbeat you. We're not going to kick you while you're down. I just want you to reflect a little bit upon this last year and just ask yourself, as you look back, can I say I have finished my course and I finished it well? What about some of those resolutions? Maybe last year at this time you said, "I'm going to read my Bible through this year." Well, how have you done? Have you made it? Are you still working on it? Or did you give up? Get down there in the prophets and get in there, the description of the tabernacle and all that. It's likely to hang it up. Oh, my friend, how have you done? If you said last year, "I'm going to read my Bible through," how did you do? Maybe last year you said, "I'm going to begin tithing on my gross income." How have you done? Are you still doing it? Have you ever started? Do you keep it up? Or maybe you said, "I'm going to give regularly to missions." You tithe, but you want to give a little extra. You want to give to missions. Are you doing that still? Are you finishing your course? Or are you going to have to renew some of those thoughts and desires that you had last year? Maybe some of you said, "I'm going to be more faithful to the Lord's house this next year." And so 2012, did you see yourself more in the presence of God's people and in the presence of the Lord? Did you keep that, or do you have to renew that one as well? You might have said, I'm going to witness more. How have you been doing? Or step outside of the ministry and the aspects of it. Maybe you said, I'm going to lose some weight. Well, have you? If you're like me, you lose it and you gain it, and you lose it and you gain it, and you lose it and you gain it. Well, are you still losing? Are you still fighting that battle? Maybe you said you're going to exercise regularly. Have you done it? I encourage you, whatever it is, I don't know what your course is. I don't know what you choose to do. I just want to bring some things to your reflection. Maybe you said, I was going to be a better spouse, or I'm going to be a better husband, a parent. I'm going to be a better child, a better co-worker, better church member. Whatever it was, whatever you set your heart to do at the beginning of 2012, how have you done? Just look back. And can you say, I have fought a good fight this year, and I have finished my course this year, and I have kept the faith. I have done everything that God has wanted me to do. We're not perfect. We're going to see faults, and we're going to see some failures in our right race. I understand that. And there are times when we had to quit running, and we had to walk for a little while. That's part of it. We get the stitch in the side. We just kind of have to take a break. We understand that. God knows that. When you look at your race in 2012, how have you done? How have you done? I encourage you, whatever you start, endeavor to finish. If you stumble, then get up. And I want to remind you, I'm going to ask you to look at a few of these verses because, and I'm going to invite you back to 2 Samuel chapter 15. You want to keep running and you want to do well, but you know what? You're not alone in the race. Why would I consider the past with the idea of persevering? Because not everybody finishes well. Do you ever stop? You might think, well, I've just really kind of made a mess of things last year. You're not the only one. You're not alone in that boat. None of us are perfect. 2 Samuel chapter 15. Here's a fella here. When Absalom revolted against David, one of David's counselors, a fellow by the name of Ahithophel, verse 31, it says, and one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now as you turn to 1 Kings chapter 1, keep in mind that Ahithophel had been the king's counselor for many years. Had done well, served with David for a long time. But now it comes down to the end. And Absalom revolts and Ahithophel is seduced away. And he follows after Absalom and he goes against David. You know what? Ahithophel did not finish well. As a matter of fact, if you read this scripture, God heard the prayer of David, and Hushai the Archite gave his counsel of what Absalom should do, and they ended up choosing Hushai's counsel over Ahithophel's, and he saw the writing on the wall at that time. He went home and killed himself. Talk about a poor end. He did not finish well, did he? He ran pretty good all the way to the end. But to the end, he did not finish well. Ahithophel died. 1 Kings chapter 1, where I've asked you to turn, after Absalom revolted, there soon came another fellow, Adonijah. He revolts against David. And in 1 Kings chapter 1, I read in verse 18 and verse 19 about some of the people that are in the conspiracy. And now, verse 18, chapter 1, and now behold, Adonijah reigneth. And now, my lord, the king thou knowest it not, and he hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the host, but Solomon thy servant he hath not called. Who do you read there? Abiathar. You remember when David was in the wilderness being chased by King Saul 45, 50 years before that? And Abiathar came when all the priests were slain. Stayed with him all that time. When Absalom revolted, Abiathar didn't revolt. Adonijah revolts. Abiathar goes with him. He did not finish well. Go to chapter 2, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 28. We read in that text about another fellow, David's general. Chapter 2, verse 28 says, then tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. And Joab fled to the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold of the horns of the altar. And Joab, because of his rebellion against David, ended up dying under Solomon's reign. Joab, been with him through the whole wilderness wanderings. With him all the time as he ran from Saul. Then he becomes general of the army and fights with him for all those years. 40 years David reigns. And in the last year of his reign, Joab turns his back on David. He did not finish well. Go to chapter 11, 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11, just a verse about King Solomon. Oh, we hear a lot about him. He was a good man, a great man, a wise man, but at the same time we read this about him. Chapter 11, verse 4, it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. When he was old. You know what? That tells me that Solomon didn't finish well. Ran well for a time, but he didn't finish well. Not all finish well. I have known preachers who destroyed what they built. They pastored church 25, 30, 40 years. And at the end of their ministry, destroy all that they built all that time. And heart-wrenching to think about that. I've known couples who've been married for 25, 30 plus years. Divorce. They ran so well for all that time, but they just didn't finish well. I knew a fella who was a wino, and he was in his 80s. You know when he started drinking? When he was 70. I don't know what it was. The guy was a teetotaler all of his life, but when he got to 70, he decided, you know what, I'm going to try a little bit of this wine. And so he began to drink, and you know what? He turned into a wino. And the guy, you go to his house, he'd just be laying drunk on his couch. And he'd say drunk all the time. He started out well and he ran well, but he sure didn't finish very well. And he died a wino. People don't finish well sometimes. Not all do. And I encourage, maybe you stumbled in 2012, but praise God you have an opportunity for 2013. And what you want to do is not only make some changes, not only make some resolutions, but desire to finish well. So that next year you'll come at this time and you'll say, well, Brother Doug's not going to talk about me. You know, you want to be able to say, I finished my course this year. I've done everything God has wanted me to do. Now I've taken more time than I intended on these, but let me finish my message by giving you some thoughts on how we might finish well. And these are listed in the outline in your bulletin, and we'll just kind of go through these and maybe digress on a little bit of it. But generally, I'm just going to give you a statement because I have a number of them. First of all, how it is that I might finish well or you might finish well, I suggest unto you, that number one, recognize the race you're in. Your obligations, your goals. You know, some people float through life and the reason they're not doing very well is because they don't accept responsibility. I find that more and more as society goes along too. People don't want responsibility. They blame everybody else but themselves. And I'll tell you, my friend, you're not going to run a race well if you're just always sloughing it off on everybody else. Well, that's my coworker's fault. It's my manager's fault. It's my brother's fault. It's my parents' fault. It's society's fault. You keep blaming everybody else, you're not going to get anywhere in the race. Accept responsibility for the race that you're in and the choices that you've made. Accept that responsibility. Fulfill those obligations. Number two, choose a suitable race. Be reasonable. I told you, I ran one 5K, and for many years I'd run 4 miles a day. I doubt I could run a 5K today. If I did, I'd be hurting. We'll get back to it, though. That's one of my plans for the new year. Ask me later how I'm doing. Well, choose a suitable race. There's Ironman competitions. Years ago when I was really running all the time, I thought, I want to do one of those. You know how it is, guys. You get middle age, you start thinking the glory thing. And you're going to get out there and you're going to run so far and then you're going to swim so far and then you're going to bicycle for so far. And I thought, are you kidding me? There's no way. I'd get through the race and jump in the water. They'd be pulling me out of the water. But you could train toward it. Yeah, I have to choose a suitable race. I'm not going to go out and try to do the Ironman competition. Maybe one day I will. Who knows? Maybe I'll run that marathon down here one day. Right now, I'm not ready for it. Got to be reasonable. And you know, sometimes people go through life, they're unreasonable. They want this, they want that. I know a guy that said his goal in his life was to make as much money as he was old. And so when he was 20, he wanted to make 20,000, 21, 21,000, and on and on. I thought he was undershooting it a little bit, but his goal was money. His whole life was wrapped in money. And he hadn't gotten very far at all in his race. What a terrible thing. Be reasonable in your race. You got it to run. Choose it well. Number three, understand the elements or aspects of your race. If you choose to go run in that military race, you know you got to jump off that cliff, and you know you got to go through electrified water, then be ready for it. Know what's expected of you. If you're going to go to college, then know what's expected of you. If you're going to go to work, know what's expected of you. If you're going to get married, then accept the obligations of the marriage. But run it well. Run it well. Understand the elements of your race. Number four, make God the priority in the elements of your race. I don't know what you're choosing to do this year, what you chose last year, but make God a priority. And mostly when we think about church and resolutions, we think about reading Bible and praying and all that kind of thing and going to church. And well, everything you do in life, make God a priority. Choose your job based on God. Choose where you live based on God. You need to be praying about these kind of things. You want to run your race well, and you want to make God a priority in all that you do. And you'll be blessed if you do that, and you want to finish well then. Number five, run the race at the pace that God would have you to run it. And if God wants you to run the race at a jog, then run it at a jog. If He wants you to run a sprint, then run the sprint. But wherever you're at in your race, whatever God would have you to do, you do what God would have you to do. And if you try to do something different, your race is not going to be very successful. I encourage you, make God a priority and then run at the pace that God gives you. Number six, depend upon God to give you what you need to run. Rely upon Him. When I run, I pray just about as I run all the way through. And I'm praying for people and I'm praying for me. I pray for my health and I pray for the church. Depend upon God to give you everything. Life is not easy. I'll tell you, it's tough out there. And you need the Lord. And if you think you can get through this life and run this race and get to your deathbed and look back and say, I've done it well and I did it without God, you're going to be sadly mistaken. You need the Lord. And I encourage you to run with Him. And number seven, then establish the goals. After you establish your goals, then participate. You know, some people set goals and they never do anything about it. They make a resolution, never do make one step toward it. You say, I'm going to read my Bible through. You never open it once. I mean, at least start. Even if you quit, at least begin. And give it a shot. Try. Number eight, if you falter or fail, get up. Continue the race. I remember that Olympics back here in the summer, that guy broke his leg running in the 4x4. Cracked, had a stress fracture in his lower leg. You know, he finished the race. That's great. You see the stories of these athletes, they do something, get injured, and they'll crawl to the finish line. Boy, you got to admire that. And that's courage, isn't it? They're going to finish. And we're going to make mistakes. We're going to falter. We're going to fail. Maybe you did start reading your Bible and you quit. Okay, well, start again. Start again. Continue the race. Don't give up. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your church. Don't give up on the workplace. Don't give up. Fight through. Finish the course. And then, of course, number nine, you have to develop a mental fortitude as well as a physical ability. Life just isn't all about grit. There's some stamina to it. I was reading last week where they had a race, a 100-mile race, and they said that the last 50 miles, it's all about your attitude. And I thought, man, check that in about 10 miles. I don't know about that. They said the first 50 miles, you know, you can do that, but when you get to the 51st mile, it just kind of just, it's all up here. You know what? Life is a race, and it's not all about your capabilities and your abilities. You got to have some fortitude. You got to have a heart for the Lord. Got to stick it through. We read about Paul and all the things he suffered. Well, I'll tell you, if I was there, I'd be most likely to say, you know what, I've had enough of this. But he didn't. And he said, I fought a good fight and I finished my course. Don't you want to be able to say that? I do. I do. Then, of course, we need to adapt to the course, make the necessary changes, whatever happens. You know what, life is tough. And things happen all the time. You might be doing very well in your race, and you might go to the doctor next week, and they might say it's cancer. You're going to have to make some changes. You might get laid off your job. Fiscal cliff goes off this week and everybody loses their jobs. You know what? You're going to have to make some changes. Got to change the course up a little bit because the course has changed for you. You have to make the necessary changes. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. I'm about done. I appreciate your patience. Philippians chapter 3. Let me say unto you then, don't give up. Don't give up. Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes in verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." He says, "I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I press toward the mark. Again, he uses an athletic reference. That tape across the finish line there, those runners run. I press toward that mark. And we all have those marks out there. Press toward the goal. Finish. And keep success ever before you. Paul writes in Galatians 6:9, he says, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap, if you faint not." So see that tape across the track out there. Envision the trophy. See yourself on the medal stand, if you would. Strive for the crown. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, Paul said, because he's done these things, he'll receive a crown of rejoicing. But not only him, but anyone who's going to pursue the race and loves the Lord Jesus Christ. So keep success before you. And then finally, I would encourage you to ask God for protection and blessing during the race. Life isn't easy. I know it isn't. Your race is not easy. A lot of you have a lot tougher race than I have to run. I understand that. But mine's not a piece of cake either compared to others. You know what? We have the race. I just want to encourage you, whatever it is, as you look back over the year, I don't know how you've done, but I pray that you've done well enough. You can say, "Well, I finished my course. I've done pretty good this year. And, well, I want to do better next year." Whatever you set forward to do this next coming year, just desire at the same time, "God, not only let me make these changes, but let me at the end of the year say, I finished my course. I finished my course. Let me finish well." And by God's grace, you will. And we shall. And God will watch over us and protect us. And we'll have a good year this year. Let us learn from the past and move forward to the future. Finish well. And may I say to you that are here that are lost, you know what? One of these days you're going to come to death. Could be next week. It could be 100 years from now. Some of you are pretty young. You might make that long. You know what? Doesn't matter. One of these days you're going to stand before God. And if you're lost, well, that's a finish you don't want to see. Because he'll say, "Depart from me, ye works of iniquity. I never knew you." You'll drop into hell forever. You know what? As a sinner, you need to be saved. You need to be saved today. As God works in your heart, convicts you of your sin, would you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Ah, that you might be saved. And then we who are saved, we might finish our life and our ministry well. I appreciate your patience. I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? The challenge is this. The invitation is simply this. Right where you stand, if you're lost, that you might see your need, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And if you're saved, that you might look at your life and say, "You know what? I want to do better, and I want to serve better, and I want to be found faithful, and I want to finish well." And as you think about this coming year, ask God to guide you, to direct you, that you would be as God would have you to be, and God would give you all the grace you need to finish well. I pray that you would seek that out today, not just in this invitation time, but throughout the day as you approach the new year, that God would work in your life, that you would be as he would have you to be. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts. And I pray that your will be done in all of our lives. Forgive us where we fall short. Grant your grace to rest upon us, that, Lord, we would finish well. Thank you for all that you've done. We love you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?